This is Real Life with Kevin West.
Hallelujah. I'm not forsaken, never alone. The God of heaven calls me his own. He's not just seated upon the throne. I know he's right here inside my home. I've got a treasure here in my heart, and in my weakness it won't depart. I've got a Savior who will abide. He's not just with me, he lives inside. Just go as Daniel lived. Our God will bring you out, and he will testify. He shuts the lion's mouth. Go ask those Hebrew boys, if he'll stick by your side, they will identify the fourth man in the fire. They'll tell you,
search the heavens high, if I search the earth below, if I make my bed in hell, no matter where I go, where can I run from its spirit? Where can I go from its presence? No matter where I go, no matter where I go, if I search the heavens high, if I search the earth below, if I make my bed in hell, no matter where I go, where can I run from its spirit? Where can I go from its presence? Even in the deepest depths, no matter where.
Easter to all of you. Have a resurrection Sunday. You know, it takes a lot of courage to not come up here and have a pretty much a storyboarded message for Easter. I've done it for 20 some years, and I'm not going to do it now. I feel like the Lord is wanting me to say some things and share some things, and then I want to worship some more. I know you're going, God, we sang an awful lot of song. It's not about the song. And I know some of you are going, it's awful loud in here. It's loud. The Lord's not hard hearing, but he ain't nervous either. It's okay. Sometimes it gets a little wild. Sometimes when you get down in the crevices and the core of who you are, sometimes a groan you can't even get out. Has anybody ever been there? To the point where you don't have any more tears to cry, you're just thankful there's one coming out. You feel one coming. What I'm sensing in my heart today is that there is I said it a little bit earlier, but there's a changing of the guard that's happening in our, not only our country, but in our church world and our lives. For so long, we've lost people. I look around the room here today, and I'm seeing people here today that last Easter was a little different than this Easter. People that were with us back then are not maybe with us today. And it's difficult sometimes to stand up here and sing and worship the Lord, and knowing good and well that we preach and teach about promises that God does this and God wants to do that and God's going to do this and God's going to do that. But when you experience something a little bit less or a lot less than what you really have heard preached or what you know the Word says, it creates a conflict within the hearts of everybody. And you begin to go, you know, I believe that. I know God can and God will. God wants to. But he didn't do it for me. He didn't do it for them. And you begin to stack up experiences that outweigh sometimes what we really believe that the word of the Lord says. And sometimes trying to balance that conflict or wrestle with that conflict on the inside of you. You know, God wants you to do well. Well, he does, but sometimes it doesn't always go well. Like Ronnie just got through saying, you know, the trouble will come and be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, that's good. And I really appreciate you doing that, Jesus. But right now I'm not feeling like I'm overcoming the world. And until you go experience stuff like that, and other people tell you, they want to encourage you, and they should. I just got to tell you this. God's original intent for us 6,000 years ago when he made this place and put Adam on this earth, we were not supposed to experience death or sorrow or pain. It wasn't going to be that way. And when Adam rebelled through Eve, sin and transgression entered the world. And when sin and transgression entered the world, all of the curse that came with that, the effects of all that sin, came with it. The death, the sorrow, the pain, the curses, all those things came with it. And then for 4,000 years, man tried to do everything he could to get in good graces with God again and go back to the center and, God, what can we do? And it all became about, you got to be obedient. Do what you do right, you do right, you get right. You better do this right, you better do that right. If you do this wrong, this is going to be against you. And then it becomes a measuring stick and a measuring tool for us to live our lives of, are you pleased with me, God? God, are you happy? And if things turn out bad in your life or they're working against you, you look at the Lord and you say, there must be something I'm doing wrong, because we don't know any other way other than put it on ourselves and internalize it. And then we begin to start looking at all the things that we do wrong, and it's sometimes if you're like most of us, you don't have to look very far to see some of your shortcomings. And if you don't have to look very far, sometimes there's people around you close to you that'll point them out to you and tell you all your shortcomings. And you're looking around and you're going, okay, God, I got to work on that. I got to work on this. I got to work on that. All the while, you might be in a vocation. You might be in a career. You might be in a place of your life where you're studying and maybe going to school or you're growing up, whatever it might be. Every day, you're just pushing forward, working on some of those things that you have to work on. You know, recognizing that God is, you know, we believe in him. We believe God's God. But for some reason, over the course of decades, we've made this thing what it really is not all about. And we've made it about God's measuring me so hard and I'm not measuring up, and if bad things are happening to me, it's because I'm probably doing some things wrong. I got news for you. God's not looking for just your obedience to be a robot. God wants you to believe him. Yeah. I was just thinking about my son Caden. He's 15, and you know, I don't want him just doing what I tell him to do because I tell him to do it. I want him to begin to understand and trust me and believe me that I'm teaching him principles and life skills, so his obedience is out of the understanding that he gets from trusting and believing me as we raise him. He's looking for, if he believes me, he'll do right if I teach him right. The Lord is not looking for somebody just to get it all together. He's looking for somebody to just trust him and believe him. 2,000 years ago when Jesus came on the scene, he came as a baby. Nobody had a clue. They didn't know who he was. And he comes through this process of life, and he grows up and becomes a man. He's 30 years old. And by that time, that was a time when ministry could start. 30 years old, you could start a ministry. That's how it was in the Old Testament. That's how it's going to be through Christ. And so Jesus starts his ministry at 30 years old. And for 3.5 years, he goes about preaching a message that was so contrary to what all the religious people and the world system people knew. And the message was, I'm here to establish and restore all that you have lost. He said, I came to seek and to save that which you've lost. And for some reason, we have taken a piece of that message and we've made it that Jesus came on a rescue mission, and he came just to rescue us out of our pit and out of our hell's destiny and bring us out of that thing. And then, man, one day we're going to go to heaven. So he got the sins off your back. And now it gives you a fresh start when you believe him to start over again. That is a very, very, very short piece of what Jesus did come to do. He didn't come just to rescue you. He came to restore you.
Amen.
And when I say restore, that means everything that the enemy has meant to steal from you and take from you. He came to restore and give you life. He gave you peace, to give you joy. In the midst of all the struggles, I don't understand it, and I don't even know how it works. But I do know in the middle of all the pain, somehow you're able just to muster up enough courage and faith to know that even though it didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out, He's still God.
Amen.
He's still faithful. He's still true. He's still for me and not against me. And when Jesus began to go about doing his business for 3.5 years, he was wrecking funerals and healing people and setting people free. And listen, and contrary to what the church might say to us today, he didn't ask everybody to figure out who he was before he healed them. Jesus went about doing good and destroying the works of the enemy. And he went to people that didn't even know who he was. Man, some of these people didn't know his name, and he healed them anyway. He would feed them regardless of did they give in the offering or not. He would take care of them. He would take care of the widows. He would take care of the people. He would do. Why? Because his nature is good.
Yes.
His nature is good. His virtue is good. But for 3.5 years, he began to tell the disciples over and over again, guys, this is what it's all about. You don't understand this now, but you will understand later. I've got to go away. And when I go away, I'm going to come back into you in the Comforter and by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to come into you. And when he does, your life is going to change forever. Because he's going to govern. He's going to be a governor in your heart. Inside of your heart, inside of your life, he's going to come and take an abode, dwell in you, live in you. And when he comes and lives inside of you, he's going to navigate your life. And when troubles happen, it might knock you off balance for a little bit, but just know that it knocked me off balance too. Yep. But I overcame those troubles.
Yep. Amen.
I kept going, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you'll outlast them, and you'll outlast them, and things will be different. I get it, but things will be better in the end.
Amen.
He said, but what I've come to do, guys, that you guys don't understand and will fully never understand until one day. He said, I came to give you back the keys. I came to take back the keys from death, the keys to hell, and the keys from the grave, and the keys from destruction, separation. I came to take those keys, and I want to give you the keys. See, you guys see me as the light, he says, but guess what? You're the light.
Amen.
You think I'm the salt of the earth? I think you're the salt of the earth. You think I'm more than a conqueror? I see you more than a conqueror. You see me as the head, I see you as the head. You see me as above only, I see you as above only. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take these keys back because none of you are qualified to do it. The only way I'm going to get these keys back is I have to face death straight on. And when I face death straight on, you'll see in the end, it's going to be painful. It's going to be a separation from me and the Father. It's going to be horrible. And you're going to look at me, some of you are going to walk away. But some of you got to know that if I don't take death face on, I can't take the keys back and give you the keys to overcome.
Amen.
So on the day that he was crucified, he was on the cross. The Roman centurion, the soldier, pierced him in the side and blood and water was coming out of his side. People around were wondering what was going on, and the people that were close to him, his mother and others, and the women around were going, oh my God, they're crying. Some of his disciples were going, my God, I gave my 3.5 years for this guy, and now he's gone, and what are we going to do now? And some walked away from him, and some were in amazement, and some were wondering. But there was something close to happen with that Roman centurion, because when he pierced him in the side, he had to look at him, and he looked around and he got a picture of everything that was going on around him. And he saw the ones that were for Jesus and against Jesus and chanting to kill him. And all the, and he saw Pilate, and the whole world had stopped. And all of a sudden, when Jesus gave up the spirit and gave up the ghost and died, the earth quaked. The lightning rolled, shattered the skies, and things were happening. And all of a sudden, the graves were opening up. And what was happening was, I don't understand, the Romans... Roman soldier says this. After he stood there holding the very spear that pierced him in the side, he sees the ground open up. He hears the lightning and sees the lightning and hears the thunder roar. And he watches all this and he looks up and he sees a man that's dead. Like this, laying pierced on the cross. And he looks around. And as he sees people come up out of that grave, 4,000 years old, Adam, Noah, David, and they're coming up out. They've been in Abraham's bosom for 4,000 years in a holding place until this day. The Roman soldier looks around and he says these words, one of the most profound words written in the Bible. He said, "My God, this surely is the Son of God."
Yes.
The one that pierced him.
Yes.
The one that did him in. He looks at him and all he could remember was the words that came from Jesus right before he pierced him. And he said, "Father," before he died, the last things he said, "Father." And as Jesus takes the landscape around and looks and sees the people, some chanting and screaming him on, "Kill him, crucify him." And Jesus looks at every one of them and says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." If he said that for them, I promise you, he said it over you. When you were doing stupid stuff, when you were trying to wreck your life, when you were doing everything you could to just end bad, when you were just rolling around in the miry muck and the clay and trying to figure out life, and you were mad at everybody, you were doing stuff you shouldn't have been doing, and everything was turning, you were the victim of your own circumstance, and you were feeling sorry for yourself, and you were lashing out at everybody, and you were, I'm going to say it, you were taking a drink here and taking a drink there, and it was starting to dictate your life, and next thing you know, it had you before you had it, and you're headed down this collision course, and you're moving, and you're moving, and you're moving, and God said, "Father, forgive him. Forgive her. She doesn't know what she's doing." And that prayer that he prayed over them is the same prayer he has prayed over you.
Amen.
And I got news for you today. Some of you need, today is your changing of guard. Today you're changing courses. Today is the day that you are headed down a path that you didn't know how to get off of. Today is your day. I'm not having you come to the front. I'm not having you raise your hand or say a Romans 10, 9, and 10 prayer today. None of that. I'm declaring it over. If Jesus could say it over the Roman soldier,
yes,
and he didn't ask for a response, I can say it over you, and Jesus can get your response.
Amen.
He can hear your heart. He knows your life. He knows where you are. And I'm tired of the condemning messages that bring you to your knees of guilt and shame. How about somebody pick you back up and say, "It's time to change the guard. It's time to come off the collision course. It's time to get back on the right track. It's time to put the..." Listen, we got kids and generations of kids and grandkids of watching this thing take place, and something is shifting in the atmosphere. You can call it Puff or P. Diddy. You can call it Fox News. You can watch all the TikToks and all the stuff that's happening all around the world. But there's something. There's eclipses coming. There's prophetic words speaking. I'm telling you right now, this thing is shifting like it's never shifted before. And I declare to you, would you all come back up here and sing that song? I declare to you, Easter Sunday morning, March 31st, 2024. I declare to you, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith in Jesus Christ's name, that the world will never be the same after today.
Amen.
Your world will never be the same after today. Chains are falling off of you. Peace is going to chase you down. Joy is going to be the air that you breathe. A positive outlook. The voids that's been in your life, God's going to fill. From this day forward, mark it on your calendar. It's the day of a brand new start.
Yes, Lord.
For those of you that will. I'm not asking you to do better. I'm not asking you to start reading your Bible. I'm not asking you to start coming to church. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not getting your name. I'm going to call you up and say, hey, can you come back and join our facility with us? None of that. I'm just telling you, I've marked you by the Spirit.
Come on.
And the same Spirit that has marked you is going to be the same Spirit that's going to lead you.
Yes.
And you have I call forth the seeds that's been planted in your life since you were a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I call them forth. Somebody prayed over you. Somebody spoke over you. Somebody wailed crying over you when nobody else thought you would make it. When you were running away, they were still calling you in. When you were pushing people away, making all the mistakes you were making, in the midst of all your stuff, there was somebody still standing in the gap for you. And today, all hundreds and hundreds of you here today, I call you forth to stand firm in the kingdom. But your life will never, ever be the same. And because of what He has done for you, we owe Him everything.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.